spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Christian happiness from our gospel lesson. Would you like to be happy? Silly question, isn't it? You all want to be happy, don't you? Anybody here doesn't want to be happy? Okay. Could you be happy if you were destitute? Could you be happy if you literally could only afford to eat once a day? Could you be happy if your entire family was killed in an auto accident? You alone survived. Could you be happy? Could you be happy if your name was smeared publicly with vicious lies and people who knew you believed all these falsehoods? Could you still be happy? The words Jesus spoke in our scripture this morning are shocking statements. They challenge everything that we think is normal. When I was a teenager, there was a Bible translation that came out. Many of you probably have seen it if you have some age on you, like I do. Anyway, it was called the Good News for Modern Man translation. Anybody familiar with it? Right. So how did it translate this section of Scripture? Instead of blessed are those who hunger, you know, blessed, it said happy. Happy are those who are poor, for theirs is the kingdom of God. There was even a translation, instead of blessed, it was congratulations, you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. That you took up and noticed that, right? Is it a blessing? Is it happiness to be poor, hungry, sorrowful, and persecuted? Many preachers, myself included, have spiritualized this, the words of Jesus. In other words, we have said, blessed are those who know they are spiritually poor. Blessed are those who hunger after righteousness, who are sad when they sin. Blessed are those who are spiritually ready to be rejected because of the name of Christ. While this has some merit, I think, at least in part, it misses the point. It misses the point. We can miss the point because I think we have a wrong idea about happiness. I should say wrong ideas about happiness. Gallup, you know the Gallup poll and the Pew Research Company, they take these polls and they research things. They revealed something very surprising, maybe not to you, but it should be surprising to many. By every measurable standard, life is better than it was 50 years ago in the United States and in much of the world. Living standards have doubled. In some countries, there have been massive increases in real income, according to these research groups. But here's the confounding result. We're not one bit happier than they were 50 years ago. Not one bit. We've had a whole group from Grace, and I've been on one of those mission trips to Peru. And everybody that comes back is fascinated and frankly puzzled how they could be so happy when they have so little. One of the towns when I went, we went to a place where they ate very little meat because they didn't have any. And they prepared this meal for us and it had some chicken. It was like a soup. And we had a hard time eating it, frankly. Just the thought of it makes me ill. But we were told by our tour host that we should finish it because they went to great lengths to do it. I couldn't do it. I just couldn't. And I wasn't alone. And you know what? Here they came behind us very secretively, and they ate it all up, you know? They ate it up. How could they be happy and had so little? Happiness and blessedness doesn't seem to have any correlation with externals. The diaries and journals of our forefathers, you know, those who planted this country, the first Americans, You know what you don't find in these journals? They don't speak about self-pity, boredom, meaninglessness, or despair. And they had rough lives here, really rough. They didn't have ease and comforts and the luxuries that we experience today. And yet, what you find in these journals is contentment, satisfaction, how blessed we are. How does that happen? You know, we've grown accustomed to judge people according to their outward circumstances. Those poor people, we might say, as we pass by a dilapidated house, or as the old rusted car, probably from Wisconsin, comes by. I said Michigan in the early service, and I got a lot of heat for it, so I'm going to Wisconsin. Be careful. Be careful. The people in that house or driving that old car may have something that we don't. Most start out thinking that happiness is a natural byproduct of working really hard, of getting a good education, of getting a good job with a good salary, making good choices. How many were told this? How many thought this through life? But as we grow in experience and perhaps in success, we become cynical. Happiness is elusive. It escapes us. We begin to think that consistent happiness is unachievable. We have it here and there. It's fleeting. It's circumstantial. But it just doesn't continue on any consistent basis. But Christian happiness, maybe better to say Christian joy and blessedness, I maintain is possible and can be a fundamental characteristic of our lives. And this has everything to do with the gospel of Jesus. Believing the gospel is like having a battery pack that fuels our joy and our blessedness. It's inserted into us, and it's charged by connection with Christ. Our first lesson from Jeremiah also repeats the words from Psalm 1 and can be interpreted this way. We who believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done for us are like trees planted by a river. We have a source of goodness and joy continually flowing through us. It's the water of life. And even if a drought comes, we have a source that continually replenishes us. Being poor or hungry or even having a tragedy happen to us makes the gospel stand out, heightens our appreciation for this grace, this continual flow of goodness and blessedness that comes into our life. Just so, on the other hand, being rich, having plenty of food, having fame and good fortune can deaden us to our need for this gospel, for Christ. Jesus never says it is good to be poor or hungry or hated. It's not good. But it doesn't mean we're not blessed or we can't be continually joyful. Far from it, the Christian planted by God is rooted in Christ, and that water of life continues to flow in us. Just to make it plain, as I hope I always do when I talk about the gospel, Jesus, the Son of God, was sent into this world for you. Your sins earned you damnation. to hell. But Jesus lived the perfect life, and he did it for you. He never once sinned. He died for your sins, and on that cross, he was damned to hell for your sins and mine. The Father accepted the sacrifice. Jesus was resurrected, and he promised that all who believe in him will have eternal life. This is the free gift of grace to us. Not just as we're ready to enter heaven, but grace that floods our life day by day for those who believe in him. And the sure promise of heaven, that's in our future, overwhelms every sadness. In light of all eternity, no matter what befalls us, poverty, tragedy, loss, hatred, we can know a joy and blessedness because the gospel is a stream of living water flowing continually to us. Now, those are just words, right? And you've heard words like this before, then why am I not just joyful, right? So sometimes you have to see them to believe them. And I did see them. And my oft-used example of this man, now departed, Pastor Jim Robertson. If you didn't know him, I'm sorry. You should have known him. He ended up at the end of his life in the Ben Atchley VA home. He was you might say, injured in Vietnam. He was a chaplain there. The effect of Agent Orange was very much evident in his life. And when I'd go to visit him, he would have these electrical shocks that would come out of nowhere and give him tremendous pain through his legs. So you'd be talking to him, and all of a sudden he'd go, you know, like that. He'd have these pains through his legs. And then he would stop, and it was like almost remarkable, you know, because then he would share something about, he wanted to witness to people. He did services there at Ben Atchley, you know, and he would just say, and you know, Rich, you know, I did this, this guy here, you know, my roommate here, you know, and he would talk, and then he'd go, like that again, you know. It was hard to see that. But his joy was continuous. It's not just words that I'm speaking to. It can really happen. It really does happen. And I definitely wanted that. I definitely wanted to have what he had. And he did talk about heaven. Did he want to die? No. Who wants to die? Death was not supposed to be part of God's creation, right? I don't want to be desperately poor. I don't want to have tragedy. I don't want to be hated. I don't want these dread diseases in my life. You don't either, do you? Right? But if they happen, does that mean the end of happiness? Absolutely not. Not for the Christian. We'll have periods when maybe that happiness has been blocked up a little bit. But then the Holy Spirit will come and unblock that connection, and the joy will come again. Listen, while we live in this troubled world of ours, there are some practical considerations about how we experience happiness. There is an old legend, maybe you've heard about it, about a big dog who saw a little dog chasing his tail. Why are you chasing your tail so? And the puppy answered, I have mastered philosophy. I have solved the problems of the universe, which no dog before me has rightly solved. I have learned that the best thing for a dog is happiness, and that happiness is in my tail. Therefore, I'm chasing it. And when I catch it, I will be happy. Said the old dog, my son, I too have paid attention to the problems of the universe in my weak and way, and I have formed some opinions. I too have judged that happiness is a fine thing for a dog, and that happiness is definitely in my tail. But I have noticed that when I chase after it, it keeps running away from me. But when I go about my business, it comes after me. I don't have a tail. You don't either. God's word tells us in Matthew chapter 6 that we ought not worry about our life, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. Jesus says non-believers worry about those things. But your Father knows that you need them. And then Jesus sums it all up by saying, rather seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Happiness is never achieved by trying directly to seek it. Never. Shall I seek happiness or shall I seek righteousness? Seek righteousness and you will have both. Seek happiness and you will have neither. Why do we sometimes lie and cheat and break our promises? Why do we do that? Because we're seeking happiness. If I break my promise, it's going to bring some benefit to me. If I lie and cheat, I might have more money or whatever. I've got to be happy. But it will always escape you. If you make a number one priority of having a successful career, you will never have it. You will be killed by the anxiety of it. Of all people that I could quote, I can't believe I'm quoting him. Of all people, I want to quote the former late night talk show host, David Letterman, who in an interview with the New York Times said this, "I'm a person who spends a great deal of time wondering why I am not happier. I have found that the only thing that does bring me happiness is doing some good for somebody who can't do it for themselves." You know, I don't know where I don't know anything really about David Letterman. I don't know where he is with the Lord Jesus. But I do know he's on to something here. He's on to something. Happiness is not to be found by directly going after it. Happiness is always a byproduct. A byproduct. And Jesus said, this joy, this blessedness is a byproduct of seeking me, of loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself. This is where the joy comes. This is where it's to be found. The key then, and what I'm urging you to do, is seek first Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Make that the key in your life. And like so many before you, you're going to be surprised by joy, a joy that has an abiding nature to it, that will come even when you're facing the worst of times. You've been planted, my friends, you who believe in Jesus. You're connected to His grace. Love flows through you. You'll know happiness. Now, here's the thing. You're meant to share it with others. In Jesus' name and to His glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Please rise. Now, may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and